Welcome to the weekend edition of the Daily Stoic. Each weekday, we bring you a meditation inspired by the ancient Stoics, something to help you live up to those four Stoic virtues of courage, justice, temperance, and wisdom. And then here on the weekend, we take a deeper dive into those same topics. We interview Stoic philosophers. We explore at length how these Stoic ideas can be applied to our actual lives and the challenging issues of our time. Here on the weekend, when you have a little bit more space, when things have slowed down, be sure to take some time to think, to go for a walk, to sit with your journal, and most importantly, to prepare for what the week ahead may bring.
I'm just about to go into the studio to record my latest audiobook. My wife and I have been listening to audiobooks. We've been listening to audiobooks in the car as a family just to keep our kids off screens because Audible is amazing. And Audible is also the destination for thrilling audio entertainment with highly anticipated new releases and next-to-listen recommendations to satisfy every type of thriller listener. If you want breathtaking, sinister, and shocking tales that will enthrall you, even brand new and exclusive thrillers from best-selling authors, well, then you want to check out Audible. My wife and I were just raving about this true crime audiobook that we read called Furious Hours. And then I've been raving about this book, Night of the Grizzlies, which I loved. Audio piques the imagination and it brings thrillers to life. And as an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from the entire catalog. Visit audible.com/dailystoic or text dailystoic to 500-500. That's audible.com/dailystoic or text dailystoic to 500-500.
Hey, everyone. It's Ryan Holiday. Welcome to a special episode of the Daily Stoic Podcast. I have raved now many times about one of my favorite series of books, the Princeton University Press's Ancient Wisdom series. It's the Ancient Wisdom series for modern readers. That's what it's called. And I've read a bunch of these. I've read How to Be Free from Epictetus. I've read How to Die. That's James Rahm's edition of Seneca. I've read their one, How to Be a Bad Emperor, which is a translation of Suetonius. I've read Plutarch's How to Be a Leader. I've read a whole bunch of them. I've read the original texts that they pull from as well, but it's kind of a great way to just sort of go back through and get the really important parts of these texts. So if you haven't read Thucydides, if you haven't read Plutarch, if you haven't read Seneca, if you haven't read Epictetus, these are great places to start, and then you can go read the physical the full text. Or if you have read the full text, this is kind of a great booster of those things. Well, they have been kind enough to give us some excerpts, and they have a new edition of Cicero with a funny title. It's called How to Tell a Joke. It's translated with commentary from Michael Fontaine. For most of us, we think of Cicero as this sort of old dead white guy, which of course he was, but he's this complicated figure. But he's also one of the most compelling speakers who ever lived, a real master of his craft, as I write about in Lives of the Stoics. And in this edition, we have Cicero telling us how the ideal orator needs a sense of humor. Again, we think of the Stoics, we think of the ancients as being really dry, as not having a sense of humor. But then, as now, one of the best ways to keep an audience is to be funny, to be able to tell a good story, to be able to make them laugh, to be clever. And Cicero was funny, like really funny. One of my favorite Cicero quotes is, "No man dances when he is sober unless he is a lunatic." And every time I tweet this, it gets a bunch of retweets. And I love that 2,000 years later, the joke still works. The Stoics had jokes. The Stoics were funny. I mean, as it happens, Chrysippus, one of the early Stoics, dies laughing. So this is a good book. I'm excited to bring you this quick excerpt. It's not a step-by-step guide on how to compose jokes, really, but it's more of a guide to how humor can and should be used as a tool to help win an argument, to help make a case for something. This is a great book. You can check out How to Tell a Joke anywhere books are sold. There's a great physical edition. They come in these perfectly sized hardcovers, which you can check out. And then, of course, you can get the audiobook anywhere books are sold. You can check this one out on Amazon, Audible. You can check it out on iBooks, wherever. And here is a fun excerpt from Cicero's How to Tell a Joke.
How to Tell a Joke. Cicero on the Ideal Orator. Humor us, Caesar. Explain jokes. Caesar takes a stab. Antony. Humor and joking, though, is fun, and often wicked effective. Every other aspect of public speaking might be teachable by rules, but humor is obviously something you're born with, and rules can't do anything for it. Caesar, in my view, you're far better than others at this, so you can easily back me up that joking either, one, isn't a teachable skill, or two, if it is, then you're the best person to teach it to us. Caesar, actually, I think a decent funny man can discuss anything with greater wit than wit itself. Let me explain. I once saw these Greek books titled On Humor and got excited, thinking I'd learn something from them. What I found, though, was lots of Greek quips and jokes, which makes sense since the people of Sicily, Rhodes, Byzantium, and above all Athens are the leaders in this area. But they were so ridiculous when they tried to schematize, systematize, and teach the rules behind them that the only thing I could laugh at was how ridiculous they were. And that's why, to me at least, it seems impossible to teach a course in the topic you want. The thing is, jokes actually come in two forms. The first kind permeate an entire speech, while the other come fast and razor sharp. The ancients called the first kind shtick, and the second a sick burn. Both have funny names, which makes sense, since the whole business of making people laugh is winking, funny stuff. That said, Antony, you're right. I've often seen humor accomplish a great deal at trial, but you don't need rules for that first category of ongoing banter, that is, shtick, because people are shaped by their genetics, and it's that, plus some help from their facial expressions and voices and manner of speech itself, which makes them funny impressionists or storytellers. And since that's true, then in the second category, that is, sick burns, too, where a zinger has to get fired off and hit its target before anyone could seemingly even think of it, well, how could there be rules? I mean, rules couldn't have helped my brother Barker here when Philip asked him, "What are you howling for?" And he shot back, "I see a thief." And what could rules have done for Crassus anywhere in that speech he gave in probate court against Scaevola, or in the one defending Gaius Plancus against Brutus? Really, Antony, everyone thinks the honour you pay me should go to Crassus, because he's pretty much the only one you'll find who excels at both kinds of wit, that is, in the first category of keeping up the talk and in the second category of snappy comebacks. I mean, his entire speech defending Curius against Scaevola was bursting with good-natured Category 1 ribbing. It didn't have those Category 2 zingers because he wanted to spare his opponent's dignity, and in doing that he kept his own. And that is the hardest thing for quick-witted people to do, to take stock of the people, the circumstances, and to hold back the quips that come to mind, even when it would be totally hilarious to say them. Accordingly, and this is pretty funny, some jokers twist these lines of Ennius. When his mouth's on fire, it's easier for a wise man to suppress the flames than a good remark. To say, when his mouth's on fire, it's easier for a wise ass to suppress the flames than a good wisecrack. They claim the good or helpful part of Ennius's dicta obviously has to mean funny, because dicta, remark, already means wisecrack all by itself. But as much as Crassus kept away from those in dealing with Scaevola, and instead made light of the trial and their disagreement with the other kind, the one that doesn't entail roasting anyone, when it came to Marcus Brutus, who he hated and thought deserved abuse, he unloaded with both kinds.
Got a quick message from one of our sponsors here, and then we'll get right back to the show. Stay tuned.
I've talked a lot about my morning routine here. One of the things I do every morning after I get up is I take a bunch of vitamins that my doctor recommended after some blood tests. I take a vitamin C, a zinc, a omega-3, and I take a couple others who I'm forgetting, but I definitely know whose vitamins I take. And they actually happen to be today's sponsor, and I've been taking them long before Thorne sponsored today's episode. Thorne takes a personalized, innovative, and scientific approach to health and wellness with all their supplements, and they've teamed up with leading medical professionals to bring out highly effective nutritional supplements. Because I'm a runner, I'm always trying to take care of my joints. And with Thorne, I never have to question what's in each supplement. Give your body what it really needs with Thorne. Go to thorne.fit/dailystoic and use code dailystoic for 10% off your first order. That's thorne.fit/dailystoic and use code dailystoic for 10% off your order. thorne.fit/dailystoic. Use code dailystoic. And note, these statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
He went crazy on the spa Brutus had recently sold off and the inheritance he'd burned through. And those zingers, such as when Brutus said, "I don't see what I'm up here sweating for," and he snapped back, "No surprise there, you did just get out of the spa." There were countless ones like that, but the continuous banter was just as funny. I mean, Brutus called in a couple readers to quote from a pair of policy speeches Crassus had given to different audiences, and then pointed out sections where Crassus had allegedly flip-flopped. And that's when our friend Crassus here asked, cracking up, it was totally hilarious, three people to come read bits from the three books of the dialogue on civil law that Brutus's dad had written. Let me quote Crassus's rebuttal. Caesar quotes from Crassus's rebuttal. Caesar now quotes extracts from Crassus's rebuttal. The first three extracts begin with an inset quotation from Brutus's father's book, followed by Crassus's commentary. First came Book 1. "My son, Marcus, and I once found ourselves at our villa in Privernum. Brutus, your father's going on record that he left you an estate in Privernum." Then came Book 2. "My son Marcus and I were at our villa in Alba." This guy's clearly a genius, one of the smartest in the country. He knew, glancing at Brutus, this black hole. He was worried that once Brutus didn't have anything, people would assume he hadn't been left anything. Then came Book 3, which is the last one, he wrote. I heard Scaevola say there are three authentic books by Brutus. "My son Marcus and I found ourselves holed up at our villa in Tivoli. Brutus, where are these estates your father left you? The bequest is recorded right here in this published treatise. If he didn't think you were already grown up, I guess your father would have written a fourth book to document that my son and I were having a conversation at our spa." Everyone would agree that Brutus got brought down by this ribbing and those wisecracks just as effectively as by those tragedies Crassus acted out when, at the same trial, the funeral procession for a distant relative of Brutus's, an old woman, happened to come passing by. "Good gods, you should have seen it," his zap, "so sudden, so out of nowhere." Crassus fixed his eyes on Brutus, loomed over him with his every gesture, and, in a torrent of eloquence, intoned, "Brutus, why are you just sitting there? What do you want that lady to go tell your father? What should she tell all those people whose funeral masks are parading by? What about your ancestors? What about Lucius Brutus, the man who freed this nation from tyranny? What should she say you're doing with your life? What achievements, what accomplishments, what greatness should she say you're working on? Increasing the wealth you inherited? But real nobles don't do that, and even if they did, well, there's nothing left. You partied it all away. law school, like your father? Come on, she'll tell them that when you sold the house, you sold your father's barrister chair right along with it. A military career? You've never seen a barracks. Excellence in public speaking? You're no good at it. Besides, you've used what tongue and voice you do have for that most shameful way of making a buck, bad-mouthing. Do you really have the nerve to appear in public, to look at these folks here, to show your face in the forum, show it in Rome, show it to your fellow citizens? Don't you panic at the sight of that dead lady, at those masks going by? You've left yourself no room, not only to imitate them, but heck, even to display them. It was a majestic performance, out of this world. His endless quips and zingers, though, you can remember from just a single speech of his, because there's never been such an epic display of prowess or public speech more impressive than the one he recently gave attacking his colleague in office, and never one so well peppered with good humor. And that's why I agree with you, Antony, on both points. One, jokes are often highly effective in public speaking, and two, there's just no way to teach them systematically. I really am surprised you gave me so much credit in this area instead of awarding the crown to Crassus, as in every other area.
Thanks so much for listening. If you could leave a review for the podcast, we'd really appreciate it. The reviews make a difference, and of course, every nice review from a nice person helps balance out the crazy people who get triggered and angry anytime we say something they disagree with. So if you could rate this podcast and leave a review on iTunes, that would mean so much to us, and it would really help the show. We appreciate it, and I'll see you next episode. Hey, Prime members, you can listen to The Daily Stoic early and ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen early and ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts.
You know, if I would have applied myself, I could have gone to the NBA.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. But it's just like, it's been done. You know, I didn't want to, I was like, I don't want to be a follower. Hi, I'm Jason Concepcion.
And I'm Shea Serrano. And we are back. We have a new podcast from Wondery. It's called Six Trophies.
Woo!
And it's the f***ing best.
Each week, Shea Serrano and I are combing through all the NBA storylines, finding the best, most interesting, most compelling stories, and then handing out six pop culture themed trophies for six basketball related activities.
Trophies like the Dominic Toretto, I Live My Life a Quarter Mile at a Time trophy, which is given to someone who made a short-term decision with no regard for future consequence.
Or the Christopher Nolan Tenet trophy, which is given to someone who did something that we didn't understand.
Catalina Wine Mixer trophy.
Ooh, the Lauryn Hill, you might win some, but you just lost one trophy. And what's more, the NBA playoffs are here, so you want to make Six Trophies your go-to companion podcast through all the craziness. Follow Six Trophies on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
Do you want to hear about the $100 wedding dress that just saved Abercrombie?
Or the tech acquisition that was just like Game of Thrones?
Or the one financial equation that can solve climate change?
Then check out our daily podcast, The Best One Yet, or as we call it, T-Boy.
This is Nick.
This is Jack.
And we pick the three most interesting business news stories every day for the perfect mix.
20 minutes each morning, you're going to feel brighter.
We call it Pop Biz, don't we, Jack?
Where pop culture meets business news. So whether you want to kick off a conversation with your buddies,
or you're going for that promotion at work,
or you just want to know the trends before your friends,
feel brighter by starting your morning with us every weekday.
Listen to The Best One Yet on the Wondery app or wherever you get your pods.
You can listen to The Best One Yet ad-free right now on Wondery Plus. For more deep dive and daily business content, listen on Wondery, the destination for business podcasts.
With shows like The Best One Yet, How I Built This, and many more, Wondery means business.